The Ripper Crew, or the Chicago Rippers, was an organized crime group of serial killers, cannibals, rapists, and necrophiles. The group was composed of Robin Getch and three associates, Edward Spreitzer, and brothers Andrew and Thomas Cocorales. They were suspected in the murders of 17 women in Illinois in 1981 and 1982, as well as the unrelated fatal shooting of a man in a random drive-by shooting. According to one of the detectives who investigated the case, Getch made Manson look like a Boy Scout. The gang's first victim was 28-year-old Linda Sutton, who was abducted on May 23, 1981. 10 days later, her body was found in a field in Villa Park, Illinois. Her body had been mutilated and her left breast amputated. It was almost a year before the gang struck again. On May 15, 1982, they abducted Lorraine Borowski just as she was about to open the realtor's office where she worked. Her body was discovered 5 months later in a cemetery in Clarendon Hills. On May 29th, they abducted Sui Mack from Hanover Park, a village northwest of Villa Park. Her body was not found for 4 months. 2 weeks after they abducted Mack, they picked up Angel York in their van, handcuffed her, and slashed her breast before throwing her out of the van still alive. York's description of her attackers failed to produce any leads. The gang did not strike again for 2 months. On August 28, 1982, the body of Sandra Delaware was discovered on the bank of the Chicago River. She had been stabbed, strangled, and had her left breast amputated. On September 8, 31-year-old Rose Davis was found in an alley, having suffered almost identical injuries as Delaware. On October 6, 1982, the gang shot 28-year-old Rafael Tirado, a local drug dealer, and his friend 18-year-old Alberto Rosario at a phone booth in a random drive-by shooting. According to Spreitzer, he was driving with Gecht when the older man told him to slow down. Gecht took two guns from the back of the car, told Spreitzer to stop the car, and then opened fire on Tirado and Rosario, hitting both of them. Rosario survived his injuries while Tirado succumbed to his injuries at hospital. Tirado was the gang's only male victim. A month later, the gang committed their last crime. Their victim, Beverly Washington, was found by a railroad track on December 6th. In addition to other injuries, her left breast had been amputated and her right breast was severely slashed. She survived the attack and was able to give a description of her attackers and the van they had used to abduct her. The men were suspects in the disappearance of Carol Pappas, wife of Chicago club pitcher Milt Pappas. She disappeared on September 11, 1982. Her body was recovered 5 years later and the death was ruled an accident. When Gecht was first arrested, he had to be released since the police had insufficient evidence to connect him to the crimes. After further investigation, though, the police discovered that in 1981 he had rented a room in a motel along with three friends, each with adjoining rooms. The hotel manager said they had held loud parties and appeared to be involved in some kind of cult. Police then tracked down the other men, Edward Spreitzer and the Cocorales brothers. When interrogated, Thomas Cocorales confessed that he and the others had taken women back to Gecht's place, what Gecht called a satanic chapel. There they had raped and tortured the women and amputated their breasts with a wire garrote. Cocorales went on to say that they would eat parts of the severed breasts as kind of a sacrament, and the Gecht would masturbate into the breasts before putting them into a box. Cocorales claimed that he had once saw 15 breasts in the box. Gecht, the only member of the gang to maintain his innocence, was never tried for any of the murders due to lack of evidence. In 1983, he was convicted of attempted murder, aggravated kidnapping, deviate sexual assault, and rape and assault of Beverly Washington. Gecht was sentenced to 120 years in prison. Before sentencing Gecht, Judge Francis J. Matten told him, "Only a devil would do these things. An animal would not do these things. A monster would." He pointed out that Gecht had left Washington for dead and was lucky to be not on trial for her murder. Gecht is serving his sentence at Danville Correctional Center. His projected parole date is October 10, 2042, when he is 88 years old. In 1984, Spreitzer, in a bid for leniency, pleaded guilty to the murder in the deaths of Shui Mack, Rose Davis, Sandra Delaware, and Rafael Tirado, as well as attempted murder, aggravated kidnapping, deviant sexual assault, and rape. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. In 1986, Spreitzer was convicted of murder and aggravated aggravated kidnapping in the death of Linda Sutton. The prosecution sought a death sentence. During the sentencing phase, Spreitzer's attorney, Carol Anfinson, argued he was immature, impulsive, and simplistic, and was following the orders of gang leaders Robin Gecht. She described him as a lonely person who would do almost anything to please his friends. The prosecution described Spreitzer as every woman's nightmare. Calling the gang cowardly weasels who roamed in packs to prey on women, Spreitzer was sentenced to death. In 2003, Spreitzer's sentence was commuted to life in prison without parole after Governor George H. Ryan commuted the sentences of everyone on death row in Illinois. Incidentally, Andrew Cockerellis was Governor Ryan's only execution, just over 2 months into his administration. Andrew was also the last inmate executed in Illinois, almost 12 years before Governor Pat Quinn signed legislation to abolish the death penalty on March 9, 2011 and commuted 15 death sentences to life imprisonment without parole. In 1985, Andrew Cockerellis was convicted of murder, aggravated kidnapping, and rape in the death of Rose Davis. The prosecution sought a death sentence. During the sentencing phase, Andrew's attorney said his client had been a follower, not an organizer, not the prime mover in Davis's murder. The jury spared Andrew's life after deliberating for 90 minutes. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. On March 18, 1987, Andrew was convicted of murder and aggravated kidnapping in the death of Lorraine Borowski. He was sentenced to death on April 30, 1987 and executed by lethal injection on March 17, 1999. He declined the last meal. Andrew's last words were, "To the Borowski family, I am truly sorry for your loss. I mean this sincerely." He then cited verses from the biblical books of Exodus and Proverbs and added, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Cockerellis brothers were raised Greek Orthodox. The Orthodox Church attempted unsuccessfully to keep Andrew Cockerellis from being executed. Dimitrios Kantavelos, at the time a chancellor, later a bishop of the Greek Orthodox Metropolis of Chicago, became an anti-death penalty activist as a result of the execution and helped lobby in favor of ending the death penalty in the state. Thomas Cockerellis was convicted of murder and rape in the death of Lorraine Borowski. As a reward for his detailed confession, he was sentenced to life in prison without parole. On appeal, Thomas's rape conviction was reversed and he won a new trial on his murder conviction. Rather than face a retrial, Thomas pleaded guilty to the Borowski murder in exchange for a 70-year sentence. Charges in the murder of Linda Sutton were dismissed as part of a plea agreement. Thomas was scheduled to be paroled on September 30, 2017, but was denied release after he failed to find an approved place to live. He was released from prison on March 29, 2019. As of June 30, 2019, Thomas lives at Wayside Cross Ministries at 215E New York Street in Aurora, Illinois. In an interview with WBBM-TV, Thomas proclaimed his innocence, saying, "Everybody thinks I'm a monster. I'm not a monster." At the time of his arrest, Thomas Cockerellis was a painter with no criminal record. He was described as having a borderline range of intellect with an IQ of 75. If you like that, then listen to our main show every Wednesday on all good podcast providers. It's Alive Alive, the really, really fake true crime horror podcast. All the guts and gore, none of the guilt. See you on Wednesdays.